victoryelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
Esther chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 10. I'm going to give you 5, since this is the 5th month, and 5 is the number of grace. And we are on a time of grace increase. Come on, tell somebody, my grace is increasing. Come on, you're going to find yourself with an ability to do more than you ever thought you could do. Your mind, the capacity in your mind is increasing. Your awareness, your wisdom, your knowledge, your smarts is expanding. And it's God that's giving it to you through His grace. I want to give you 5 things here that will happen when you stir yourself up. Even when you don't feel anything, you get the Kool-Aid spoon out. You go down in that Kool-Aid and start stirring. You don't even know if there's any sugar in there. But you start stirring. Esther chapter 4, verse 10. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I've not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Now, something you may not have read into this portion of scripture, Haman, for the last 30 days, Haman has been occupying the king's time. Now, evidently, Haman had made the connection concerning Mordecai and Esther, and that Esther was a Jew. Because, let's read on. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Now, Esther's telling them, now listen, I hadn't seen the king in 30 days. He hadn't called me over a month, but Haman's been occupying his time. Next. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. There it is right there. Mordecai lets her know, listen, he knows that you're a Jew. Don't think because you're in the king's house that you're going to escape. Because this thing is about all the Jews. Uh-oh. It's Christ's faith crisis time now. Uh-oh, they done found out my identification. I'm a Jew in the king's palace. And the king has given this madman, because he's going to put all this money in the king's treasury, he's given him decrees to kill all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. It's a faith crisis right now. Return him this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Now, you know, one interesting note on the side here about the book of Esther, you never hear the name of God. Ever. They don't mention it at all. Even though, I mean, fasting, You know, it has to do with humbling yourself before God. You know, all of these things, they make reference to it, but you never hear the name or them talking about God. But they are in principle. But she has a change of heart here and says, join with me. I'll say it this way, which they don't say. Let us seek the Lord together. Let us humble ourselves before our God. And I will go in unto the king, having not been called. And if I perish, I perish. For the first thing that stirring yourself up will do is it will give you courage. Amen. We don't need any cowards in this battle. All those that are fearful and afraid, send them home. I cannot use them in my army. So when you decide to stir yourself, guess what? You're going to get some courage. You're going to take hold of some courage somewhere. She got to where she said, if I perish, then I perish. I was reading over that story again, and commentaries say this as well as Josephus, that her handmaid, her maiden brought her in after those 3 days, dressed in her royal apparel. And when they came into the inner court, that the king saw her and looked at her very angrily, in anger. He'd not seen her in 30 days. He was preoccupied with Haman in his ear and what was coming into the treasury, all this other stuff. And so when he saw her, he looked at her angrily. And when she saw him look angrily, it caused her to faint. But it says the king rushed to her and grabbed hold of her and set the scepter across her neck so that the henchmen wouldn't behead her. And then everything shifted. Now the favor of God began to work because someone decided, I'm going to stir myself up. If I perish, then I perish. But I'm going to see the king. You will be amazed what God will do for that one that stirs himself up. Tell me God won't show himself mighty in your behalf. Listen, as a matter of fact, God won't fail you when you stir yourself up. Hello, I said God will not fail you. He cannot fail. He just needs somebody that will stir themselves, that will trust him. Amen. She fainted. King had no intention of receiving her. But look how God works. His strength will be made perfect in your weakness. He smote that king's heart when she fainted. He works in mysterious ways. Tell somebody, you just need to stir yourself up. Tell somebody that there is a way. Come on, tell them there's always a way. He'll make a way out of no way. Tell me what God won't do. All he needs is a people that's stirred. Number two, give me 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Now, let me pause there for a moment because that's that's amazing in itself that the Amalekites didn't slay anyone. You know that had to be the Lord. The Amalekites were ruthless. They were ruthless, pitiless. When Israel came out of Egypt, it was the Amalekites that came up behind them and smote the elderly. They didn't care about babies or anything. But yet God had it so that they didn't harm anyone. Tell somebody, God got your back. Come on, God got your back. Okay, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. Look how they wept until they had no more power to weep. Think about it a moment. You ever seen a little child sometimes cry, cry, cry until they ain't got no more, they ain't crying no more tears no more. They're just right? They've cried it all out. There's nothing left. Well, that was David and them. They had wept till wasn't nothing left. Wasn't no weeping left in them. They were just in a fog. They were just like zombies. Everything gone. City burned. No hope. They had crossed over. They went overboard. They went beyond. Game over. They already cried. There weren't no tears left. And then the conspiracy started. We're going to kill David. David caused all this. Next verse. And David's two wives were taken captives. And you know David liked women, right? And it takes note here. David's two wives. You know he messed up. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. You could put there, David stirred himself up in the Lord. You know, sometimes you just know that your story is not going to end like this. You know, by the Holy Ghost, you know, this it don't end like this for me. There got to be something else here. There's got to be a move of God. You know, we've all kind of felt like that before in passing through at different seasons. Like, man, it feels like it's over. Feel like there's no hope here. Feel like, you know, it's just this is in vain. But you know what? It don't end like that. Come on, don't end like that. Even when they talk of stoning you, when it's all your fault, when it looks like it's over and everything's lost, it ain't over yet. That's where you need to stir yourself.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 30 of The Faith Crisis, Stir Up the Gift, part 2. Murmuring and complaining only neutralizes the effectiveness of your spirit weapons, and they attract the destroyers from the enemy to attack you. Husbands and wives are vulnerable when they are not on one accord. The word says in Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Saints are called to speak life into every situation, and this combats all of the assaults of the enemy. Speaking the word is one of the most effective weapons that is accessible to saints.
This is Trevor Banks again, and I'd like to invite you to visit us tonight at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Our services begin at 7:30 p.m. Come and join us for great music, anointed preaching, and warm fellowship. Located just off US 1 at 405 Exoria Avenue in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.